You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Dylan Cousins double teamed as he brings it up near the point. Sabres from right to left. Cousins again scores! That's Dylan Cousins that you've been looking for, and so is he. What a great shot to make it 2-0 here in the second period.
Sabres 6-1 over the Rangers last night. Just want to rewind real quick before I get to Brian Koziol. Sean McDermott just joined me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He's now going to meet with the rest of the local Buffalo media down at One Bills Drive. Of course, injuries and concerns. Keon Coleman, when I revisited and asked afterwards, hey, is this something long-term you're still thinking about? Is it decide week to week next week? He did call it. He did say week to week. He said maybe beyond. I don't really know what that means. Not very promising to hear that. Would it be a stunner if he got placed on IR after hearing that? No, but I mean, you have no brace or wrap or anything yesterday. So Saturday at 4 p.m. is kind of, you know, the witching hour there. If you hear that Keon Coleman got placed on IR, it would be by then. If not, then that means they're confident that he might be able to come back before the required four games they'd have to miss. In the meantime, Amari Cooper also doesn't sound super promising. He's going to be limited today, and he said, I just go by what the trainers tell me. And maybe if he can't go, others have to step up. The other thing I'll say about this is, man, they are so banged up at wide receiver right now, considering all this. And the fact that he said, it's a line of scrimmage game. You know what I think? The Bills are running the ball like 40 times on Sunday. I think that's what we're going to be looking at here on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. By the way, the Colts aren't that great of a rush defense, numbers-wise, so might be beneficial to the Bills to do that. Sabres with a big win last night, 6-1 over the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden, a place that have actually had quite a bit of success, believe it or not, over the last several years, even throughout, you know, these slumping times. Let's get right out to the Western Hotline and talk with Brian Koziol, who joins me right now, Sabres pre- and post-game host. Boy, that was fun last night, was it, Brian? Wasn't it, Brian?
Holy cow, yes, it was. I mean, the goals to start the periods are a little bit more frequent now. Dahlin scores just 26 seconds into the game. And then you end up with six different scorers and all 12 forwards on the score sheet, only the second time that's ever happened in team history, and against a really good team. So, yeah, it all added up to a nice 6-1 win for them.
And then, obviously, getting contributions from everyone was really the key. And this happened the other night, too. I mean, they've won their last two games, I think, 11-2, right? It was 5-1 the other night, now 6-1 last night. And really, getting contributions from around the roster has really been a key factor.
Lindy Ruff, I'll use his line from last night. He said, it's a four-line game.
Yep.
And he said, when all four lines are contributing, he goes, that's when we're going to win. And, you know, I think last night, again, was another example of what we've seen with the bottom six and the new additions, especially what we've been seeing from Jason Zucker lately, that what Kevin Adams did to rebuild lines 3 and 4 on this team, I think is worth crediting. I think he's done a really, really nice job. Not only are they harder to play against, but where the Sabres in years past, we've always sat here and analyzed, you know, how come the Bruins are getting so many goals from their fourth line? How come these other good teams are getting contributions from their other, you know, non-stars? Well, the Sabres are getting point production from their third and their fourth line guys, and, you know, even some highlight reel goals last night. Malenstein setting up Lafferty for his first as a Sabre. Jason Zucker now has 11 points in his last 11 games. So, yes, the top line is dominating. And, you know, Tage Thompson's on pace for 53 goals right now. But these games, they've been putting up the goals that you mentioned, 5 and 6, because they're also getting contributions elsewhere, including lines 3 and 4.
And the power play has kind of come to life a little bit here. And I have to go back and look. Maybe last night it wasn't. What were the numbers last night? Maybe they didn't have as much success last night. Here we go. Okay, one for four.
One of three last night, maybe, right?
It was 1 of 4 overall. I think they scored. They might have scored right after a power play had expired. But it has been much more successful as of late, obviously.
For sure. And, you know, I think what we're seeing is better movement. Still that net presence they're looking for, the more simpler play. They're getting into the zone better. We know for the first 3 weeks of the season, Sal, they were having that drop pass and then that issue of bringing it in where teams were just standing them up on the line. They've changed it up in terms of making it a little bit more unpredictable of how they're entering the zone. So I think that's really helped. And Dahlin said, look, we're getting the puck in and getting on the forecheck instantly, and that's how they're winning battles. So that placement of where they put the puck in to get on the forecheck has resulted in them winning battles, getting possession in the offensive zone, which has ultimately led to some goals. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds easy, it sounds simple, but these players say it all the time that, hey, when we stick to it, it works, which, again, can be extremely frustrating because you probably are sitting there saying, well, why does, if they know it works, why aren't they doing it more often? Well, that's the golden question. If we had an answer to that, well, then the Sabres drought would have been gone a long time ago.
This is amazing. I'm looking up right now, Brian, the power play percentage leaders in the league and overall for teams. The Sabres have actually climbed up to 28th. I say that because they had not had a power play goal for so long, and now they're 28th. But here are the teams, 26 through 32. This is amazing. Think of these names. This is the worst power plays in the league now. Here we go. Maple Leafs, Oilers, Sabres, Islanders, Bruins, Blues, and Capitals. What?
Yes, the best player in the league is on that list with Edmonton. Alex Ovechkin is red hot. He's a staple of that power play, that one-time shot. The Bruins, we know, they're loaded on the power play. Pastrnak, Marchand, you're right. So it's not just instantly, well, if you're a good team, you have a good power play. The Sabres have been struggling with it for sure, but over the last 2 weeks, they've been in the top 10 in the NHL in their percentage. So you've got to think maybe, hey, they're maybe finding the light here at what has been a really dark time for them. And no surprise, the points are coming with it, because when you can score 5-on-5, they've done a pretty good job 5-on-5, even through the losses. Now you're able to contribute on special teams. That's what's resulting in wins.
I believe Tage Thompson now leads the league with 9 5-on-5 goals this year. You mentioned 53 pace, but the 5-on-5 is really starting to open up. Dylan Cousins scores again last night. Good to get him going again. But, Brian, how about the lineup changes and guys sitting in the press box watching? It seems like this has, whatever the formula is, however you want to approach it, the guy sitting or the guy's playing, it's working right now, at least in the short term, for Lindy.
Absolutely. And that was what? The one huge message we heard from the players last year, they needed more accountability.
Yep.
Don Granato did not believe in taking away ice time if guys were making mistakes. He thought it was done maybe through different variety of methods, whether it was teaching, addressing it at practice, one-on-one session, all that sort of thing. Lindy has been basically, you know, very blunt about it. Like, you're not going to play if you don't play up to the standard that I think you're capable of. And that's exactly what he said with Joki Haru and Samuelson. Like, you guys can be better. You know you can be better. I've seen it from you. You're not doing it. I thought there was a hesitation there. Maybe Ben Samuelson, because he does wear an A, that is gone, which I think sends a great message to the team. Look, even if you wear a letter, or even if you have a big contract, or even if you've been with this organization for a while, everyone is fair game to lose their ice time. So I think that's a really, really good message. No surprise that he went back with the same lineup after they played so well against Ottawa. And I'm going to guess for tomorrow, We are likely not going to see any lineup changes. Jacob Bryson has been really, really good, I think, in these last two games. Dennis Gilbert has been given good energy. Last night, leading the team in block shots, tied for second when hits. So he's doing what he does well, and I would expect that Lindy's going to keep those two out right now until we see a major change back there on the blue line.
What about in goal? You expect something to change there? I would expect one of these two games, Levi, to get, right? Saturday and Monday, both afternoon games?
Yeah, I got to think right now, unless something changes in terms of his fatigue level, that he's going to go back to Luukkonen.
Mm-hmm.
Last year when he played his best, it was when he was playing 4 out of 5 games in a row. Not a very long trip to come from New York City to come back to Buffalo, so it's not like they got in at 3 a.m. or anything like that. So I think probably the thought would be to come back with Luukkonen. I do think you're right. I think probably you got to figure out where do you get this Levi game in there. They do have games spaced out, though, all next week. They play Monday, then they don't play again until Thursday, then they don't play again until Saturday. So if you want to ride the hot hand in Luukkonen, if he stays hot, the door is open to have that discussion.
All right, buddy. I feel like we haven't talked in a long time. How was your Halloween last week?
Very, very good. It was nice to hand out candy on a night where I didn't have to be freezing, open up the door for everybody. So that was really nice. It was beautiful.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so tomorrow, Sabres pregame, obviously, noon, right? We'll have Sports Talk Saturday, Sabres pregame at noon. Then we'll have Dan and Rob on the call, of course. Calgary Flames come to town. A team that, this is Dennis Gilbert's old team, by the way, the newcomer to the Sabres who's from Buffalo.
That's right. And the Flames played in Boston last night. They lost in overtime, able to pick up a point. They're doing all right in terms of, you know, points-wise, 7-5-2, their record coming in. So they seem to be playing pretty well with themselves, but again, a winnable game. The stretch here for the Sabres, you're playing then a Montreal team who's near the bottom of the standings. You're home again for St. Louis, again, around a 500 club. So, and then they had really good success going out west. They've got next week the Sharks and the Ducks and the Kings. So, you know, the opportunity there is there. I think despite the fact that they started Sal in Prague and all that goes with that,
yep.
I think the first 2 months, minus that trip, I think the schedule's been about as friendly as you could have asked. There's space in between games. There's a ton of home games.
Yeah.
We haven't even had like this gauntlet of, oh my goodness, you're facing this team and this team and this team. But look, maybe the best two teams they've played, maybe the best three teams they've played, Florida they beat, Dallas they beat, the Rangers they beat. Now they split with Florida, but three out of four against the league best there. It seems to be the pattern is it doesn't even matter if they're playing a, quote, tough opponent or an easy opponent. If the Sabres play their game, they're having success. If they get off their game, which we also know we've seen that too, then they lose.
Yeah, Devils pretty good too, right? I mean, they open up with them in Europe, and you know we see what they're doing right now. Brian, I'll let you get back to work and do what you're doing. Have a great weekend, and hopefully we're talking next week about a nice winning streak here for the Buffalo Sabres, buddy.
Yeah, they won three in a row, lost three in a row. They'll be going for three in a row wins-wise tomorrow against Calgary.
All right, buddy. Have a great call. Thanks.
All right, Sal. Thanks.
All right, you got it. Brian Colesio right there on the West Hur Hotline. Yeah, looking at the Sabres numbers, Tage, 9 goals. Yeah, was he having a power play here? Even he has 4. Somebody, I thought I read he had, he was tied for 5-on-5 goals, but now I'm reading that he has power. Oh, yeah, that's it. Exactly. Okay, that's right. So he has 9 even strength goals, 9 5-on-5 goals, and I believe that's tops in the league is what I read. I think it was Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic. I think that I read that in his article this morning. He did a nice job of, you know, kind of wrapping things up. I'm getting back into it. I'm consuming all this Sabres content because they get me excited, man. I mean, you know, it's been a long time here. Why not get excited about it? You should. Sabres tomorrow against the Flames right here on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. All right, we'll do our best to get as much as we can in here before we get to Patrick Hammer to talk about week number 10 in the National Football League. I already told you about the Munich game. It starts off Giants and Panthers on Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, 3:30 p.m. Munich time. Both teams at 2-7. If you go to the... You know, I use Tankathon. You can go to any site you want. Looking at the NFL draft order right now for next year, there are 9 teams with 2 wins. 7 teams are 2-7. The Panthers went from having the number 1 pick for many weeks to 4. Right now, it would be the Patriots, then the Jags, then the Saints, the Panthers, the Browns. So things are changing as far as the... number 1 pick order in the bottom of the NFL standings. Patriots, speaking of them, we got a Super Bowl 2020 rematch against the Bears. I don't know, which comes to mind. When I think of Patriots-Bears, I think about Super Bowl 20 when I was a kid, 1985. They'll be playing in Chicago, Caleb Williams against Drake May. Is Drake May playing? I think he is, right? Either way, it's going to be Bears looking to go 5-4 and keep pace somewhat as much as they can in the NFC North. NFC North is just a gauntlet right now. I just lost my my little connection here on all the games I'm looking at. Let me go grab another way to be able to do this here. All right. What else we got? Another game coming up. 1 o'clock games. 49ers at Buccaneers. Now, the 49ers getting Christian McCaffrey back, it seems like. That is the word. Kyle Shanahan said, I think he'll be out there. So... looks like that's the case. But how about the Buccaneers? They don't go for 2 last week. Could have beaten the Chiefs. They've gone for 2. Who knows if they win the game? They dropped to 4-5. It's a big game for both teams. Buccaneers cannot afford, and they don't want to go to 4-6, obviously. 49ers don't want to go to 4-5. The NFC West with the Rams right on their heels right now. Everybody, or should say, Rams kind of picking up right now. Falcons, Saints, and the NFC South. The only way that I think that this game could go the Saints way is because they have a... new coach, and a lot of times you get that, you know, new coach, firing coach bump kind of thing. Maybe that happens with the Saints. I'm not really sure, but the Falcons are playing really good football as of late. They're 6-3. They started the season off, 1-2, I believe it was. Well, let me go back to their, see, they were 1-2. They've since won 26 points, won with 36 points, won with 38 points, lost with 34. Man, they've scored, and the only game they didn't score, believe it or not, over 30 points was Dallas last week, but they wound up beating them 27-3. to 21. That's Falcons at Saints. That will be a 1 p.m. game as well. Broncos are at Chiefs. Yeah, I'm not expecting anything from the Broncos. I thought maybe they'd be able to hang with the Ravens last week. That didn't happen. They got torched on defense. The Broncos are supposed to have a good defense, but maybe they're not as good as we thought. Now, they do have good edge rushers, and the Chiefs, they do struggle a bit at their tackle position, much more than they do in the interior, which is dominant at times. So that would be the path here, and Mahomes has been a little compromised with the ankle, so if you're looking for any path to victory for the Broncos, it would have to be that, because I don't see how Bo Nix is going to score enough points against that Chiefs defense. Pittsburgh Steelers at Washington Commanders. This is an outstanding game right now. These two teams, where they are. Steelers 6-2 leading the AFC North. Commanders 7-2 leading the NFC South. One of the top teams in the conference, in the National Football League, a darling. They have a great young quarterback in Jaden Daniels. But now you're going against Mike Tomlin, a very good pass rush, T.J. Watt and company for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Although they can be run on a little bit, they've shown some leaky run defense at times this year, and the Commanders have some big playability as well. Should be a fun game. I think, obviously, you always want the NFC teams to beat the AFC teams, but maybe if you're a Bills fan, you want the Steelers to win here to win that division, to keep the Ravens and the Bengals at bay, down fighting for wild card spots, not giving them automatic berths. Minnesota Vikings at Jacksonville Jaguars. No Trevor Lawrence in this game. So the Vikings with Sam Darnold, a 7-point favorite on the road. They should take care of business here in this one. Just a lost season for Jacksonville. Not for Minnesota, though, obviously, who's having a really nice season. They did bounce back last week after a couple of tough losses, but the Jaguars, they're one of those teams fighting at the bottom. And obviously, I don't know why it hasn't happened yet. I guess, well, I mean, sometimes you just don't want to make the change when for the sake of making the change at that time, but eventually you're going to do it. But it feels like, you know, Doug Peterson's days are numbered in Jacksonville unless they can really turn it around. But with all those injuries, I think that's a really tall task to ask for. We will take a timeout. We will get to Patrick Hammer from WGRZ TV2 on our weather for this weekend. What's it going to be like here in Buffalo if you're watching the game? What's it like in Indy if you're going to the game? And what's it look like heading into next week here in Western New York? We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.